to Sestercast, the Orphan Black podcast. I'm Jean McDonald, and I'm rewatching this series for the third time. My co-host, Kathy Campbell, is watching for the first time, and so we make sure not to spoil any storylines beyond the episode we are currently discussing. And Kathy, it was killing me knowing this episode was coming for a long time. Like, I was like, I'm not going to tell her anything, but she's going to like this one.
Yes, I loved this episode. It was so good. And I messaged you. It's been a rough week emotionally, hormonally type of a thing. So I was just like, okay, I need to know what level of Orphan Black this is.
Right.
I was hoping it would be the traditional Orphan Black season 6 episode. Which has a little bit more added humor to it, because the last seasons, that's what this episode kind of is. It's almost a mid-season breather a little bit.
Yeah, it's true.
And it held true, and I'm very thankful, and I'm very, very happy, because, man, this one was delightful.
Yeah, it really is. So this is episode 6 of season 5, the final season. The title is Manacled Slim Wrists, which also, as with all the other titles, comes from Ella Wheeler Wilcox's poem, Protest. And just go read the poem. I'm putting a link in the show notes. Basically, I could keep reading and rereading little lines from the poem, but I basically read the whole poem already to you, listeners. I don't want to take them out of context anymore, because I think it's a beautiful poem and it's very short. All right. So I love how this episode opens. I wrote down in my notes, this is the funniest 2 minutes of Orphan Black in the whole series. Oh, I mean, there's a lot of funny things that happen in Orphan Black, but for a solid 2 minutes, this is the funniest.
It's so funny. And for the listeners and for you, I would like to put out the fact that I am not as much of an avid YouTube, like beauty YouTuber watcher as much as I have in the past, but I do have a history of watching YouTube videos, and I have seen videos like this before. Obviously not the ending of these 2 minutes, but I died. It was so funny. Yeah. And then to add on, so basically they're doing a beauty video, and like, look at these, you can get this look without having to like buy any products. There's zero products. Right. And you know, they have these bendy, these cute straws. They're so cute. The straws are just so cute. And they look like they're boba straws, and they go and they get like her friend that we meet is Brie, and Brie is pulling them out and pulls hair with it. So obviously this is traumatizing for anybody.
When they start screaming in the middle of this, like, it's up to this point been like this frenetic, upbeat, happy beauty video, you know, vlog, and Crystal and the both of them are like, and we have 50,000 subscribers, you know, you know, it just cracked me up. And, but then, yes, as you say, like, and actually the music comes to a screeching halt, which is pretty funny because obviously this video was never aired on YouTube. But it was edited, but it was not aired.
Right. That was the part that got me, because they edited it and added music and did all of this, but didn't upload it, which I found hilarious that they did all the work, even though, of course, she knows what it is, like what happened. But
Fine. Bree's hair is falling out. And that's when you see the total, you know, trick that you didn't realize is that you're not watching the video on YouTube or even watching the video anywhere. You're watching Art and Scott watching the video.
Right.
And if there could be two people in the cast less clueless about what this video means, it's Art and Scott.
Yeah, they like, were the most clueless people that you could have watching, and it was hilarious. Especially because then Crystal's like, obviously we came to you. You need to help us. And they're like,
Scott's like, yeah, okay. Help with what?
Obviously, she's been poisoned by big cosmetics. What about this is confusing?
Right, right.
It was crystal and peak so wonderful. Crystal,
yeah. And that is the opening, the cold open of the coldest of cold opens on Orphan Black, I would say. And we get the credits, and next place we end up is Mrs. S's house. Their Neo Frontenac guy is there to pick up Kira, but she's sick. And I definitely at this point in the series, I don't really remember what happens except for the biggest things. And so I was like, is she really sick? I can't remember. How does she fake him out if she's not really sick? And then she, you know, and she pukes on his shoes, which that was a beautifully shot.
Oh, yes.
With the camera from the point of view of just like right at the floor, just on the shoes and the puke. And Frontenac is so fussy, you know, as is pretty much all these Neo types are. And it's like, okay, she's sick. we only see like next time they come back and Mrs. S is saying like, sorry about that, Kira. You know, you'll feel better soon. That syrup of Ipecac is usually only good for 3 good pukes. Okay, filing that away.
Yeah.
My little notebook of tricks to use that I learned on Orphan Black. And that is, you know, Sarah is still like not quite clear like why they have to keep Kira away other than, you know, she doesn't want Rachel taking Kira at all. But S is very, very mysterious in this bit. And, you know, Delphine told S something, you know, or Delphine told them, like, keep Kira away because Delphine knows where they are, the Neolutionists in their research and what they want to do with Kira. Yes. And that she's also dug up, Adele has dug up all this dirt on the Neo Lucianist business dealings. And this is when Sarah's curious, like, so who is your source if it's not Delphine? You know, or it's just like, I have more than one source and stop asking me questions. So
right.
I think I finally remembered who the source is, or I finally figured it out. I don't think I followed this plot very well the first time I watched it.
Oh, I'm excited. I have no real idea. Yeah. And I'm okay with that. Like, yeah. I will learn.
It does,
obviously. You know,
yeah. So, and this circles back then to the whole Crystal and Bree and big cosmetics. You know, the lies of big cosmetics, because Art calls, and he says like, "I think I got a lead." And so that brings Mrs. S and Sarah and Crystal and Art all on video conference together. And then it's so funny with Crystal. It's almost hard to describe.
Yeah, because don't forget, Crystal, I don't know if she does believe, but she definitely like has no time for Sarah. Like,
no.
She cannot even handle this person. And it is hilarious because we're so used to Sarah being the one who manages to handle everything. Like, she can, she gets these perfect, like, interactions and everything works out the way she needs it to, et cetera, et cetera. And for her to not have that is just... I just love it. I love it so much. It's so perfect because it's brilliant.
And I mean, Crystal gets under her skin like nobody else, and she gets like, you know, she is rude to Crystal, and Crystal is like, you know, is she actually necessary?
Right.
Because she's so rude, you know, and it just goes back to the like, you think I look like that, because, you know, she's maybe a 7 and I've been told I'm a 10. She doesn't believe that Sarah is her clone. So yeah. That's clear. So anyway, but yeah, they talk about Crystal has this source, this cosmetics executive who's really an artist. He's got this company. It's so ethical. It's called Blue Zone Cosmetics, Leonard Sip. And at that moment, Mrs. S sees like, oh, she has paperwork. Blue Zone Cosmetics was acquired by Dyad. And now that's the question they want to answer, is why would Dyad want a cosmetics company? And so somebody's going to go undercover. Or will they?
We also learn that Crystal had a date with Sip, and then he ghosted her.
Yeah.
Which I so Bree is just like, I cannot even believe that he ghosted you. And because nobody ghosts Crystal, and Scotty goes, it's difficult at first, but you get used to it. And I just died. Yeah. Poor Scotty. Poor, like, all of this. It's hilarious. And so they're like, no, we need to figure out what's going on. And, like, event, they're going to just not let Crystal be involved. Sarah's going to do it, not Crystal. Because they can't trust that she'll have control. And so, of course, Sarah's going to be the one going undercover. And they're just like, did Crystal really just fall arse backwards into something big again? And yeah. S is just like, I do not know how that girl does it. And Sarah is like, really? You don't? And just turns on the Sarah pretending to be Crystal, which, yeah. Again, it just blows my mind that this the layers of the same actress playing a character who's playing a character who is her. It's just... it's so, it's amazing. It's just amazing.
And it's, it's really cute because, you know, she's like putting on the wig and she's doing her Crystal act for Kira, who's laughing. And Kira's like, I like Crystal. And of course, Kira likes everyone, you know.
Right.
Sarah, as Crystal says, like, I love you, is so just so funny. But meantime, you know, like there's this little plot, which I thought you would be appreciating, like that is kind of forming that they aren't drawing a lot of attention to. But Kira, now that they are not whispering around her and they are letting her like hear what they're doing, she's also making plans.
Yes.
And she says to Sarah, like, I have a new code name, you know, for the island. You know, I'm calling it Wonderland. And I don't remember, like, how this all ends up together, but I really like watching Kira be able to have agency in these plots instead of just being a cute little kid.
Yeah, she's definitely grown. Although, apparently, she's only 8 still. So, like, the seasons have passed incredibly, because, and I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, she seems like her classes seem like, you know, either late elementary school or early middle school.
Right. Like, I keep thinking of her as the same age as Avi. But Avi's turning 10 this weekend, and it's not like that's just she's only supposed to be 8. So,
yeah, I mean, everybody got 5 years older in the making of this series, but obviously the kids, it's going to show up the most.
Yeah, for sure.
So anyway, so you want to, should we just like go with the operation boutique cosmetics. Yes. Len, you know, undercover with Len Sip.
Yes. So in preparation for this, Scotty and Bree and Crystal are in the lab. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to figure out what got Bree sick, basically.
Yeah.
And so, of course, like, Scotty needs blood, and Crystal is like convincing Bree to like keep Scotty occupied. And so Bree turns on the flirting, which has already been like very subtle in there. Like, Bree is just charmed by Scotty, and Scotty, of course, is just like, oh, gaga over these hot girls that are in his lab. And it's like, okay, I need blood. And Crystal's like miming to take off her sweater. And so Bree's like, oh, I should take off my sweater so it doesn't get blood on it. And so, and then she can't, she's nervous to like get her hair, like the wrap around her hair. And so she has Scotty come and help and just like gets yeah. all up in him so that Scotty's distracted so Crystal can sneak out. And I love that Scotty realizes halfway through what is going on, and he's just like, dang it, I failed. Yeah. And it's just he's super like, cute.
Yeah, basically bamboozled again by yes. one of the clones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, yeah. So yeah, I like how they move this part of the plot along really fast, because, you know, the next thing you see is Art and Crystal on the phone. So Art finds out that Crystal has flown the coop, and he's like, Crystal, you know, you gotta like let us do this. And she's like, she's already in her apartment.
Yeah, she's already changed. She's already ready to take this down because she's mad. Yeah.
She's mad. Right. She was ghosted. Yeah. You know?
Nobody ghosts Crystal.
And, you know, they're like, it's too late. Len Sip is coming over, and there's no way that Crystal, she's like, you know, I'm point, you're backup, get over it. You know? So that's like, you basically have what must have been a really fun acting job for Tatiana. And for Kevin Hanshard, who plays Art, where they just sit in the car reacting to what Crystal's doing
yeah.
on, you know, she even has surveillance software on her iPhone. I'm like, could that be used for a guinea pig cam? I don't
know. I'm sure it could. They also find out that she has, you know, the surveillance gear and the earbud and stuff. And she's just like, I'm texting you the code right now so you can get connected. And somehow magically the camera moves from like the phone is in the dock in portrait mode, but the camera is landscape to and like a fisheye
angle. Yeah.
But that, you know what? That's fine. I will give it the benefit of the doubt. And
yeah,
it whatever. It's fine. So here comes Sip. And I knew ahead of time, you had told me that this was Tati's boyfriend. And it was, you could feel the chemistry. So even if yeah. they hadn't been dating, or even if I hadn't known that they were dating, like, there was just that instant on-screen chemistry, and it was just a beautiful thing. And
yeah,
it was this scene. This whole bit, because you have the off-screen interactions of Art and Sarah trying desperately to keep Crystal under control. Especially when originally, like, Sip and Crystal are just start getting it on. They just start making out, like, get on the counter, and they're just like, do not kiss him!
Do not kiss him! It's like, yeah, it's a little late for that, Art.
Yeah, too late. Too late. And it's just, that was hilarious. Yeah. And something, I don't remember what like hits through, but they were just like, they get Crystal on track and
yeah,
gets to cool down and calm down a little bit. And she starts asking about like why she was ghosted. Why did he ghost her? Why didn't she return her? Why didn't he return her calls? All of that. It's just like, I just closed a whole huge deal and I've been partying for days. Let's party now. And so he's just like, okay, I want to keep partying. But then he gets a phone call, which is yeah. like, okay, good. This is good. Like, Art and Sarah are like, okay, steer it to Dyad, but don't make it obvious. And then what does Crystal do? Len, you sold your company to Dyad. Yeah. And he's just like,
why would you do that? Like, oh, how do you know that?
Yeah. How? Because you're Crystal. Like, how do you even, how does that work? And he's just like, hold on, I need to take this call. We'll talk about this later. And it just is not. Yeah, it was so funny because she's just like, I'm done with this. Like, I can't even right. whatever.
And she's like, he is such a liar. You know, she goes into
yeah.
the bathroom and she's like mad, you know, and that at that moment. So like back at the rabbit hole, you know, secret basement laboratory, Scott figures out what is going on with Bree, and she has not been poisoned and she's not going bald. She just has something in her system that made her hair fall out. Have you used anything new lately or eaten something different? And she admits that she stole some tube of cream from Len's house when she and Crystal went there to party. And she used this completely unknown product on her hair. I guess figuring if it was at Len's house, it was probably all organic and not animal tested.
Right.
And good for you. And, you know, like any other kind of industry insider, you'd be like, ooh, I'm going to get a scoop on this thing.
Yeah.
So, and also, I guess she's a klepto. So.
Right. I was a little concerned or confused because it seemed like it was a face cream, but then she used it on her hair. I am unsure about that, like how that worked, but that's fine. It ends up like Scotty calls Sarah to tell about the tube and like what's going on.
Yeah.
And Sarah's like, you need to like find this lotion. Like, don't use it. Like, it's a face cream in a floral makeup bag. And at this point, like, Crystal's just furious and is like, I'm peeing and then I'm going to kick him in the balls, which was hilarious. And so Sarah and Art are trying desperately to keep any sort of control on Crystal. She's not a very good undercover agent. Let's just be honest there.
She's getting the information.
She does get the information. She's not controlled well. We'll put it that way.
No, that's true.
And so she's in the bathroom and is like looking for the makeup bag. And Art and Sarah look at the video and they see Lenny, Sip, I'm just going to call him Sip. They see Sip at the vanity out in the living room, like putting a face cream on, which was a little odd, but that's fine. And then he's digging around in a floral makeup bag and sees his tube of cream.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh no, he found it. This isn't good. He starts pounding on the bathroom door and Sarah's just like, okay, you're going to play it like this. And Crystal's like, nope. And like pulls out the earpiece, throws it in the sink and opens the door. And Sip is just like, Jesus Christ, woman, how stupid are you? Which, of course, we know is a trigger for her. She does not like being called stupid. And she gets to kick him in the balls just like she wanted, which is so great.
And that reaction shot with Art and Sarah going like, you know, just it's really good. Yeah. And she's like, now she's on the warpath. And he thought he was going to be, you know, on the warpath with her, but she totally like undercut him literally and says like, he's like, you know, it's a dermal delivery system. Like she wants to know, like, why does Dyad want this? And he's like, you know, this is a dermal delivery system. That's like the key to the whole thing. They want this kind of cream. And he said, but this batch made the rabbit's hair fall out. Yeah. And just like, wow. And so, I mean, she's threatening him. So she's pinned him now. He's on his chest. She's kneed him in the back.
Tiny little person that she is. It's very impressive.
And she's holding the cream and she's like, talk. And she's sort of squeezing some out, like, you know, talk or else. And he's telling her. And then when she finds out, like, you know, I don't know if she's madder about the hair falling out or the being tested on rabbits.
Right. Probably the rabbits, I would say.
And then she just like squirts out a bunch in her hands and rubs it all over his beard.
Yes. Which, you know, he's not going to appreciate.
He's like, he's a cosmetics person. Beard.
He loves his style is very particular.
Yeah. And then she literally kicks him out of the apartment. And we're like, okay, that went well.
Yeah. You know? It was fine.
In the big scheme of things, like, he's not important. You know, he's going to continue to party and be on his yacht and spend his money. And he obviously doesn't have any ethics. But now we at least know what Dyad is trying to do. I did read, the Mary Sue science recap of this episode, because there's so many little sciencey things in it. And I learned a thing, which is that Blue Zone, which is the name of Len's cosmetic company, is a nod to the notion that there's five places on the planet that have been identified as blue zones, where there's extraordinary longevity among the population. And Sardinia is one of them. So that's the Sardinia connection, like when Delphine going to Sardinia. Also, Okinawa, there's a place in Costa Rica, a place in Greece, and then Loma Linda, California, specifically the Seventh-day Adventists in that case. And all of these zones, the science has found, is like, it's basically about, you know, healthy lifestyle and healthy environment, you know, which is not what P.T. Westmoreland wants. He just wants the thing that will keep him going.
Yeah.
And that turns out to be something much more sinister.
Yeah, speaking of PT, let's hop on over to the island, shall we?
Yeah, let's go. The island just keeps getting worse.
Yeah, it's worse and worse and worse. So when we last left the island, Cosima was locked in a cage, and she's still there, obviously. Right. And Mud comes down to deliver like food and stuff, and she is wearing a gigantic cowbell around her neck, which we find out is her punishment for herself. So she like felt awful for the things that she had been doing with Giannis and working with Cosima and all of that, and feels guilty. And so wore the bell as like a self-flagellation type thing. And Cosima is working with Mud to try and help her to realize that she's human and worthy and all of that, to like basically fight against what all this stuff that PT has put into her head, where she is not worthy as a human, but she really is. Like, she came from Seattle and nobody cared about her and this, all of this. And so Cosima being Cosima is just like, no, we're going to work on this. Like, you are worthwhile as the person you are. You don't owe him anything. All of those kind of like subtle hints on, hey, let's deal with this. You deserve better type of a thing. In addition to, hey, save myself and my sisters and my family.
So she's starting to work on Mud, to like really, you know, they have to get Mud on their side if they're going to have any
hope
chance.
Yeah.
And, you know, then we see PT and Susan, you know, together. And Susan, you know, as she's trying to steer him, as she claims that she thinks she can, you know, and she's like, you know, you got to get Cosima on our side because it will make it much easier to work with Kira if we have Cosima. And PT is like, Cosima can rot. So he is really down on Cosima.
Yeah.
And at the same time, so Mud is bringing in some, you know, medical contraption that Susan takes for a dialysis machine. And he says, it's not that. She says, Percival, you know, your mask is slipping. The fact is that he's actually having himself, he's getting parabiosis, which is using the blood of one organism in another organism. This is not total science fiction. This is a thing. I mean, it's usually done in laboratories with animals, but they do find that an old mouse gets younger if it gets the blood of a young mouse. So great. So, and Susan is like, you know, your mask is slipping. And when she says that, he says, like, do you remember who I am? And she's like, of course, you know, John, but we need the myth. So that's the first moment where you say, aha, he is not really P.T. Westmoreland, Victorian era scientist explorer. He's a fraud.
Yes.
And Susan knows it.
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, I'm the only one who does know it. But now I'm really worried about you because you seem to be going off the deep end. And I'm like, really? Just noticing
just
that
now. Well, and like, I get it. You know, yeah. Susan has a very specific way of viewing the world. Mm-hmm. And the way that he's done everything, like, this is the way it's supposed to be. Like, this is the way she wants it to be. She wanted it to work out the way it could. And they had this great story and this myth that would allow them to get the funding and the support and everything that they could. And,
you know, and followers, like people come move to the middle of nowhere.
Right.
You know, to follow
ability
them.
To get this young blood. Yeah. Like, although we, because of this interaction, we know that Susan didn't know about the parabiosis. Like,
right.
That's a surprise to her. So I don't know what the plan was, like, what their plan was before or how best to utilize, you know, the community other than, like, financial, I'm guessing. But, yeah, that's fine. We also learn that PT is back to his manipulative, like, pitting women against each other because here shows up Cody. And PT's like, look, I separated Lita and Castor at Susan's request, but that was a mistake. We should have kept them together. And so now Susan's like, crap.
Cody knows that Susan had her locked up.
Yes. And Susan now realizes that she was not guiding PT as much as she thought that she was.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, we've already seen Susan has, like, very close to no medical ethics, you know, and things that she's been willing to do in cloning. But there's always a degree, and one of the things she doesn't approve of is genocide.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't need to cull segments of the population in order to advance, you know, the genetic future of the human race. And Cody's like, but it would sure speed things up. Right. And yeah, okay. So I guess I do prefer the person who clones without consent to the person who wants to wipe out, you know, undesirable parts of the population.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's when PT says, like, you know, progress requires this like equilibrium. You know, there, if there's no friction, there's no fire. And I'm like, dude, that's such a dude way of looking at things.
And the way that he manages his people, it's always with the women, and it's always like, let's have them fight against each other so no one's coming after me, basically.
Yeah. So now, you know, now Susan is, you know, she's got to have another think about this whole thing. Meantime, Cody goes down to the basement where Cosima is, and she's like, actually, I do want to say just a shout out to those two actresses and to Orphan Black, you know, writers and producers for having two women that are this good.
Yeah.
Who are not just young things in midriff bearing costumes, but scientists. Right. I mean, they're evil scientists, but they are professional women. And yeah, it's Rosemary Dunsmore and Kira Harper. I would like to see them in other things. I would also like to try to dig up some of the stuff they did when they were younger, but I just like seeing the two of them, and especially with PT as well. Like, he's also a very good actor. Yeah. You don't often see such good shows with scenes where everybody is over 70.
Yeah, no, it was
or beautiful. 60 at least.
Exactly. So well done and very impressive. But,
so when Cody goes down to see Cosima, she's just oozing that Cody energy. I mean, I'm definitely, even though I wanted her to die in there, you know, Castor desert base camp.
Right.
I like seeing her again because she is such a good creepy character, and she's very creepy with Cosima, but Cosima is so, you know, grounded in her own mind, like where Cody tries to get her to be interested in the science that they're going to do with Kira's eggs and with Helena's stem cells. She's like, nope. She says, frankly, you are all too insane.
Yeah, she really lays it out there. She's just like, you can see how strongly Cosima believes in these medical ethical choices. She definitely would not have a cosmetics company that says that they're ethical that then is tested on rabbits. Like, that would not be Cosima's game. And she really believes in the humans behind this and all of those things. And so she just is basically the exact opposite of what Cody lives for. And that, yes, she believes in the science, but she it would never do this.
Yeah. And then so Ira and Susan have a scene where Susan tells Ira about Cody, and that's a really interesting dichotomy because, of course, Ira is worried because Susan is worried, but he's also kind of curious to see Cody because he hasn't seen her since he was 4 years old,
right?
When she was one of his Castor clones, and he's also glitching, and that, you know, that's starting to become more and more obvious, and he, you know, Susan at first is. She, you know, actually gets angry with him that he wants to talk to Cody, but he basically says, like, you know, let me get close to her and he can find out what she's trying to do.
Right. And additionally wants to find out some information for herself, like for himself.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like, do any of his brothers still survive?
Yeah.
That's so he does see her in the camp. They're in the medical unit talking while Cody's drawing blood from a little boy. And Ira's like, what's that blood for? And she's like, you really are like Susan, you know, like caring about why are we drawing blood from a healthy kid and why do we have like packs and packs of blood here that we need to process. So, you know, and Cody glitch tests him, you know, with one of her, you know, some singers are slim, all actors are slim, whatever, you know, some singers can't act, true or false. And he claims that he hasn't had any issues yet, but of course we know he has.
And yeah.
She says she's close to a cure, so she's trying to win him over with the hope of being cured. Because she's just evil.
Yeah. Well, and here's one more way that she can win, that she can be over Susan, is by getting her pet away from her, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, one more way. She's already manipulated PT mm-hmm. again. So why not try and get Ira, especially since yeah. Ira is one of her casters.
Yeah, that's true. Ira now has this information. He knows about the blood and it being for parabiosis. And Susan says, you know, she has like a plan basically to kill PT. And Ira's just like, why don't we just get to the boathouse and go? And she's like, nope, we gotta bring him it all down. I've given my life to Neil Lucian, you know, but now it's time to bring it all down. So they're hatching a plan. Ira goes down to the basement and talks to Mud, Cosima and Mud. And Cosima and Ira talk Mud into going along with their plan, which turns out to be Susan slipping something into PT's parabiosis treatment.
Yes.
And Mud is a accessory to this because she knows what Susan's doing and she doesn't say anything. She kind of she's the one who makes it possible for Susan to be sneaky about it.
Yeah. She kind of stands in the way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's well blocked.
Yeah.
those shots. And it seems to be working because, later we see Susan and PT, you know, she's watching him. He seems to be getting groggy or something, but he starts reciting Wordsworth and they're, you know, reciting it together. But at the last minute, Cody comes in and she's got a gun and Mud is behind her. I just noticed that like today for the second time rewatching it.
Yeah.
Yes. Mud double crossed them.
Yeah. Mud went and basically knew, oh, hey. Well, and the specific reason that I think that she went was because PT complimented her and told Mud, hey, you know, mm-hmm. you can take off the,
oh, right.
off the bell. You've done well. Like you're doing these things that I believe you can, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So, right. So she has second thoughts about betraying PT because he's the one she is most dedicated to. You know, it's not, she feels like, you know, he's the one who saved her from her, you know, worthless drug addicted life.
Right.
And, but not before Ira has the key to let Cosima out. And then, I mean, now it's like it's a caper movie where
right.
Cosima's getting out and she goes to the, you know, the medical trailer to get her cure. And at the same time, I guess did I skip over about poor Aisha dying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, yeah. That is a bad moment.
That was so sad.
It's just sad, you know, and it's not out of the blue because we know that they're not trying to cure her. But the residents now, they have had the one guy who died, you know, being attacked by Giannis, and they totally lost it with the big house with PT. And they're like, where is the founder now? And Mud is standing there and she's, you know, also, you know, I mean, that the Aisha dying is the reason that Mud went along with the plan. She got disillusioned for a minute. But right. then, as you said, then she gets one compliment from PT and she's back. But yeah, so there's an all-out revolt in Revival Camp and they're starting to burn it down, literally. So Cosima's trying to get her cure, but the residents, like, they don't even trust her and they almost, like, you know, thwart her from leaving. But Charlotte shows up and she's like, just let me and my sister go. And then she tells them the truth about PT and she has the proof. So Ira had slipped her this envelope right before she left the basement jail that was a photo of PT and Susan in 1967.
Yeah,
very handsome people, by the way.
Yes.
So she's showing them and she's like, he's not even 170 years old. He's been fooling everybody. He's been fooling you. He's me, my family, scientists, governments, military. And can you just let me go, you know, with my sister. So she's able to leave. But there is that moment where you think, uh-oh, you know, what if they lock her up again? And so things are just falling apart everywhere. PT gets saved by Cody. She detaches the IV. She has a gun on Susan. Cosima and Charlotte are leaving. They're in the boathouse. They're waiting for Ira and Susan. But Ira and Susan aren't going to come because...
because they're dead.
They're dead.
Ira is glitching hardcore. We saw him glitching really bad when he was getting Cosima out, but yeah. Very much so. He goes up and you see that the bag that held the morphine is almost out and it's hooked up to Susan in her fancy wheelchair in the beautiful, like, greenhouse. And she's dead. And then you see blood running down Ira's face out of his nose, just pouring out.
Yeah.
And they're dying together. And as awful people they were, they also like did do some good, kind of. Sort of, but I have a hard time like feeling bad or not feeling bad for any time anyone dies. Like,
yeah.
I always feel a little bit of sadness. But yeah, it was beautiful. Like, I mean, the way that it was handled by the show was well done because they had this epic love story, as gross as it may seem.
Yeah. Epically creepy, but yes.
But, you know, they just presented it very like beautifully and it was lovely and sad.
It was a little sad, but I don't know. I mean, yeah, Ira was my favorite caster. And I was sorry that, he, you know, ended the way he did, but this is Orphan Black. And yeah.
Well, and at least it seemed like it was peaceful for both of them. That's the one good side of it.
Yeah, I don't know about Susan because she was, don't you think Susan was like, you know, was poisoned by Cody? I think.
Well, like I think it was the morphine and, but from all accounts in my extensive knowledge of these things, it's basically you fall asleep.
Right. But I don't think she had that IV willingly.
Oh, no. I'm sure that part of it was terrible.
Was
but the
not
actual
peaceful.
Death
okay.
of
okay.
like death by morphine overdose, I think, is very peaceful.
Yeah. I mean, she looked very peaceful. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, somebody gets a not horrible, horrible, horrible death.
Yeah.
We've had we haven't had too many deaths like since MK.
Well, we've got Giannis died.
Oh, yeah. That was
Giannis killed people and Aisha. Yeah,
that's true. But people like
but not main
characters. Major characters, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that MK was really, that was hard.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the final thing that we see in Revival is Mud standing there, like everything is burning to the ground. And she finds the photo of PT. And so it's like, poor Mud. She's been like, I'm going to work against him. No, I'm working with him. Now I'm, I'm going to be totally disillusioned. And it's beautifully shot scene. I mean, all the fire and the villagers, I'm calling them the villagers now. It's
it works. But also like PT is watching this happen through the windows of the big house and just like watching everything.
Yeah. It's very fail. Dramatic.
It was beautifully done. Unsurprising. They've proven themselves over and over. It was beautiful.
The actors will be glad to get out of that mud and cold air.
Right.
You know, that location, from what I hear, you know, of course, it's somewhere in Canada. And so it's not warm and it's wet and muddy. And, you know, for Tatiana, especially, I'm sure she's ready to be done with that. And then there's a little bit to wrap up about Kira, and then I think we're done with this episode.
Yeah. So we learn why Kira was needed at Dyad, because they were going to start the hormone treatments for her. So at least they've got that part right on the surrogacy side and like egg collection. And so Rachel is in charge of that, of course. And they were going to, like, when Frontenac came to tell Rachel, like, hey, this is not going to work today. And Rachel's like, okay, fine. She can rest now, but then I'll go get her. But everything changes when PT is like, why isn't Kira there? We need to get started. Blah, 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 blah. And so Rachel's like, okay, fine. So they go to get Kira. Rachel shows up and S is just like, let's not, you can't go. And Rachel's like, nope, sorry. She's coming with us.
Yeah.
And basically they collected Kira, but Kira's, you know, being strong and is Kira and is like, hey, I'm going to keep writing my story.
Right.
And
she's like a great little undercover child.
Yes. There was a bit where S was telling Rachel, there will come a day when you need us, which was, I thought, like, so well done. So nice to know that S will still, and part of it was granted meant to be like aggressive, like, hey, you're going to need us and we're not going to help you type of a thing. But on the other hand, I think S really would help Rachel if Rachel was ever actually ready, because that's how S is.
Yeah. No, that's right. I too noted that. I mean, that there will come a day. It's like, it was, and she says it in her lovely Irish accent, so it sounds even more like dramatic and meaningful.
Yes.
And yeah, so that's, I think we're set up now, you know, where will they get Kira's eggs? Will Rachel do? What's going to happen, you know, with Cosima? How's Cosima? I love that Cosima, that one thing that Cosima said to Charlotte where she says, like, you don't know this about me, but I basically grew up on a boat.
Yes.
And I totally know everything about boats. And it's like, Cosima's the best. She's really the best in this bit.
Yeah. Well, and I love that they linked in that one offline about her parents being on houseboats. So, of course, she knows how to sail. She knows how to do all of those water things. Like, yeah. it was a great way, because I didn't even think that that would be something that would come back necessarily, like that line. And here we go. It's presenting itself perfectly. And so I was like, that's awesome.
I mean, since we don't really know where the island is, I sort of share Charlotte's concern that
this little
motorboat, if it's where I'm picturing the island is, we're going to need a bigger boat. But, you know, as we have, you know, found out about Orphan Black and TV in general, it's best not to really, really dig into some of the logistics. No. You just don't need to. It doesn't add anything, and it doesn't detract from our enjoyment of this fantastic episode of Orphan Black. And now we have four more left.
Oh my goodness, we're so close. And now comes the point of like intensity, I think. It's just, I mean, it's obviously been building significantly, but it's just going to get more and more and more. And I am here for it.
Yep.
And I want to thank you for being here for it, too. If you're listening to my voice right now, thank you for being along with this journey with us. You can find us online. We are at SesterCast.com, where we are a part of the amazing Incomparable Network. You can find us on Twitter. We are at SesterCast. I am at Mrs. Soup, and Jean is at Mac Genie. She's also on micro.blog. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So,
so are you.
Yes, I am. Kind of.
Everybody will end up there eventually. So you might as well throw that out there.
But thank you so much for listening once again. And we hope you have an absolutely incredible day.